Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Well, hello again. Still with me here in studio are Fine Gael, Minister of State, Eimear Higgins, Paul Murphy from People Before Profit, and David Cullinan, who's Sinn Féin spokesperson on health. And health is a matter we are going to look at now because the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation revealed today that January just gone was the worst month on record for overcrowding in hospitals since they first began counting trolley numbers 19 years ago. A total of 13,972 people were being treated on trolleys last month. I've been speaking to Dr. Mick Molloy. He's a consultant in emergency medicine. He's also a member of the consultant committee of the Irish Medical Organisation. And I began by asking him what his experience of January was.
The situation is definitely as bad as it looks, and it's probably as bad as I've ever seen it in the health service. We have an acute bed capacity crisis. There has been multiple reports into bed capacity dating back as far as 2003 when the current Taoiseach was Minister for Health, and that indicated we needed 5,000 extra beds then, which they committed to build by 2011. They haven't been put in place, and what's happening now is a result, direct result of that inaction.
And you've been working in emergency medicine for 30 years. How would you describe the trend over that time then?
Over the time, it's been very, very consistent. In the beginning, there were only a couple of patients who would remain overnight in an emergency department. And when you've got 15 or 20 bed spaces, that's something you can manage. You know there will be an end. It's got to the point now where that became half your daily capacity would be taken up by patients who were seen the day before, who were deemed to need to be admitted to a hospital bed and were still in your department, to now some departments coming in the morning and every single space they have to see a patient is taken up already by people who've been seen the day before, deemed needing to be admitted to a hospital bed, and there is no inpatient capacity for them. We have had in recent years an increased use of what are technically our daycare units, daycare beds, day procedures, day infusion areas, who are now also housing the patients who've been excess capacity over what is the regular hospital bed capacity, and to the point that those units can't function properly themselves. The ESRI did a report last week how Ireland has a lower number of daycare surgeries than other comparable places, but you can't do the surgery if you don't have the daycare ward to put the patient in the first place. So we're not comparing like with like there, but our capacity dramatically needs to exceed in the short run to ensure these patients don't come to harm from being kept excessive durations of period in the emergency departments. There was a significant paper published in the the Emergency Medicine Journal. So it's a one of the subsidiary journals, and it was examining hospital admissions in the UK over a 2-year period, and it found that when people spend longer than 6 hours in the emergency department and up to 8 hours, there was an extra death per 83 patients admitted for that cohort. But that ratio of deaths went up to 1 in 60 the longer people stayed. But that paper only went as far as 12 hours. We have patients staying in our emergency departments for 24, 36, 48 hours. Indeed, some spend the whole length of their admission in the emergency department because there's no capacity in the hospital wards to take them, which is bad for the patients. It's a form of torture for them to be in an environment that's functioning 24 hours, lights on, lots of noise, where they can't effectively sleep, rest and recover from the particular illness they have.
And the impact on staff, what is it?
It's incredible on staff morale, because when the general public presents the emergency department, they have an acute issue that they themselves need to get sorted. And they're not particularly interested in our explanations of why the capacity is so low that we don't actually have a space for you to come in. So all day, every day, we find ourselves explaining, apologising for the lack of space, not for nothing that's within our control. And it's a very, very difficult environment to be in, seeing a patient and knowing you're not really going to be able to give them the optimum treatment for their condition because there's just no space.
And what's the solution to the space issue? Because capital investment in a hospital is obviously a long-term prospect and hiring staff seems to be challenging. So any suggestions?
Well, if you think about the staff part in the first place, the staff are currently treating those patients, not in adequate conditions, not as well as they should, but the staff are currently treating those patients. So the staff is the less of a limitation. I granted, if we take the old traditional view about how we build hospitals and how long it takes to build a hospital, yes, you're looking at years or even decades. But the fact is, there was an acute bed capacity report done in the year 2003 indicating a need for 5,000 extra beds. We haven't provided those. We need that, and we probably need double that now at this stage. So what could be done is very short, quick modular builds, which could be reusable from site to site. So you put the modular build on site A, you finish the construction of what's required on site A, you bring that modular build to site B, and same thing. And we could effectively create additional capacity very quickly within the system if the political will to do so. It is expensive to do temporary modular builds, knowing they're not going to be a form of long-term construction, but it is absolutely vital and necessary for the patients and the health services right now.
All right. You've been on the other side of this yourself, have you? You found yourself on a trolley. So what's the experience like on the patient side of things?
So unfortunately, yes, I'm speaking from both sides of this. I'm speaking as the clinician, and I'm also speaking as the patient. And on the other side, I had an acute life-changing event which required me to be admitted to an emergency department, and I spent over 3 days in a public hospital emergency department because there were no spaces on wards. It was nothing to do with the staff, and as a person who is in the system for a long time, who knows what the relevant individuals can and can't do and who to talk to if you urgently need a bed, there was no capacity for me to get admitted to a ward because the capacity did not exist. And it's a very inhumane environment to be left on a corridor in an emergency department, staring at the ceiling, listening to the noise that's going on when you need rest, you need your recuperation. And I was at a point where I couldn't get the food I needed in the hospital because I have a particular form of diet from one of my medical conditions. My wife wasn't allowed to bring it in either because the health and safety rules don't allow microwaves to be used in the hospital emergency departments. So I was left without adequate food for 3 days as well, which is just ridiculous.
And that was Dr. Mick Molloy. He's a consultant in emergency medicine, speaking to me shortly before we came on there. David Cullinan, it was becoming clear in the last few days that January figures were going to be bad, and you issued a statement on it. But hearing from Dr. Molloy there and reading the latest INMO figures, what do you think?
I spoke to a lot of nurses and doctors myself over the last number of weeks. Obviously, it's very traumatic for patients and for staff when you have the crisis that we have in our hospitals. There's a lack of dignity which is afforded to patients and staff. I talked to nurses who are trying to manage patients on trolleys in very overcrowded situations, in some cases change patients, toilet patients. We know that we've had deaths, premature deaths in hospitals because of overcrowding as well. But we also know that this has become an all year round problem. Obviously, it peaks during the winter. For the whole of last year, according to the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisations, we hit a record for all the wrong reasons of patients on trolleys and patients sitting in corridors waiting for the bed. I was in every single hospital over the last 4.5 years. I met managers and staff across every single hospital. And they all tell me that when it gets overcrowded, they simply don't have the beds. While they're trying to increase what they call patient flow, looking at what they can do to bust the system when it gets busy, very often it's cancelling elective procedures, which is the only course of action they have. They have a situation almost on a daily basis where they simply cannot admit patients because the beds are not there to admit them.
We got a statement from the HSE, and they say there's a suite of measures that support emergency departments and hospital avoidance, patient experience in the emergency department, patient flows at ward levels, and safe and timely discharge to the appropriate setting. And they go on to say in a different part of the statement, as the number of people living in the community with chronic life-limiting illness increases, there are greater numbers presenting to the emergency department. Emergency department attendance rates in Ireland have increased significantly in recent years, but the HSC is acutely aware that even one person on a trolley is too many, and reducing trolley figures continues to be a particular focus.
Well, I would imagine that people listening would have their eyebrows raised when they hear about a suite of measures. That's of no comfort to people who are on hospital trolleys or staff who are dealing with, in some cases, as they were described before, war zones. And it gives me no pleasure to say that in some hospitals. We know we need more hospital beds.
Could that be turned around as a situation?
I've been a spokesperson for health for 4.5 years. Before me, it was Louise O'Reilly. We've been talking about the same issues. I'm involved in politics for 25 years, I should say. And these issues have come up time and again. It was said by Mick, even in 2003, it was acknowledged that we need more hospital beds. So we do need more hospital beds. We have to fund them. In the programme for government, it talks about funding community beds. There's no number of how many beds. It could not be more vague. We need alternative care pathways because we have some people who have chronic conditions who are going to emergency departments because they have no other choice because the care is not in the community. The out-of-hours GP care isn't what it should be across the state. We're still not even at the starting gate when it comes to the elective only hospitals. We've called
have
for publicly hired GPs.
Have you looked at the proposal of the modular build that Mick Molloy talked
yes,
about?
Yes, so
in
an alternative, three alternative budgets which I produced, I call for modular bills to be put in place. I actually met with the senior official in the Department of Health plus the Secretary General to look at how quickly can this be rolled out. So I was doing my job. I have to say, the four ministers for health under Fine Gael and most recently Stephen Donnelly simply have not put the capacity in. As Mick said, he was on a trolley himself. For him, the capacity and the bed wasn't there when he needed it.
Eamonn Higgins, in 2011, when the first of the three Fine Gael ministers, James Riley, Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris, and they were followed obviously by Stephen Donnelly from Fianna Fáil, but when James Riley came into office in 2011, there were 487 people on trolleys in March 2011 when he became Minister for Health. We're now up at 13,972. That's a hell of a jump. The demographics of the country haven't changed that much in that time. That happened under the watch of your party. How do you explain that?
Listen, there's no denying that our emergency departments are under immense pressure. And that's creating so much distress for patients, for their families, but also for all of the frontline staff working there. And it's extremely challenging. January is kind of always, I suppose, January and February really are always the most challenging times of the year within the HSE. And for that reason, GP services have been extended to evenings and weekends to help take the pressure off the ED. But this January we saw, probably in my memory anyway, one of the worst flus. Everybody I knew seemed to be sick over Christmas in January, really had a big impact in terms of RSV.
I think the flu numbers have dropped off.
They have,
January.
Thankfully.
So how are we at 13,972 people, notwithstanding the ageing population and the demographics? The population of the country hasn't radically changed since 2011, when there were 487 people on trolleys. Can you see why people might regard that figure as failure?
Listen, it's extremely upsetting for anybody who's on a trolley. Of course it is. And I'm sure that's how they're feeling today if they're on a trolley. But the reality is we've invested hugely in the people who work in our healthcare service. And we heard Dr. Molloy say that staff isn't the issue, it's space. We've increased, there's 27,744 more people working in the HSE than there was 5 years ago. That's nearly 10,000 nurses, nearly 4,000 new health and social care professionals, almost 3,500 extra doctors and dentists. Last year alone, we had 800 additional nurses and 700 more doctors. And they're the people who are treating those people and we need them. But you're right, Dr. Molloy is right, we also need to invest in space. We have a really good new and dynamic Minister for Health in Jennifer Carroll McNeill, and I know this is something she's really laser focused on.
Okay, so is she going to do something radically different to all of the health ministers before her?
Well, listen, what we need to do is look at things from a different perspective, because we know we have an ageing population, we know we have an increasing population, we know we have an increasing workforce,
I need to bring in Paul Murphy on this. Eamonn Higgins saying there that there's been increased investment and now a fresh perspective.
This is not because of an ageing population. This is not because we have the surprise of January and February coming around. This is a structural issue to do with beds. It is not complicated. We don't need a new fresh perspective. We know exactly what the problem is. The problem is we don't have enough beds in the hospital system. The problem is we have less than 300 beds per 100,000 people in this country, and the EU average is over 500 beds per 100,000 people. Like, that's the issue.
Beds
that's
means
been the
staff.
Issue.
Staff
beds,
means recruitment.
Exactly.
And that takes time, doesn't it?
Well, but the government is doing the opposite in terms of staff. Instead of setting out to increase the capacity of our public health system. Instead, the government has been pursuing this pay-a-number strategy, which is about suppressing posts in the hospital system, which has forced health unions, health workers who want to be caring for patients, to ballot for industrial action because they're worried about patient safety. And so the essence is that the government has been, and successive governments, have been running down our public health system, and they pay lip service to Sláintecare. It gets a lip service mention in the programme for government, but they're in no way committed to actually implementing it. Instead, they run it down and down and down and push more and more people into the private health system.
All right, very I could be sitting here in 4 years' time, and exactly the same proposition could be put to me. It takes time to do these things. I heard the same 4 years ago and the same 14 years ago. The problem is the political will simply isn't there from this government to do it. I've read the programme for government from cover to cover, particularly the area on health, and I have to say I was extremely disappointed. And you compare that with the very comprehensive plan I produced on behalf of Sinn Féin, because I went out and talked to people like Mick, talked to patients, talked to doctors, talked to nurses. We know exactly what's required, and we've known for a long time.
We've had the election. People didn't buy that plan. What the programme for government commits to is reducing emergency department overcrowding, is enhancing urgent care services, and that's all about implementing urgent and emergency care operational plans. That's in the programme for government. That's the commitment. And we have in Jennifer Carroll McNeill, a minister who is going to really make big strides when it comes to that. We're going to give the last word
in this section now to Gary. My elderly father, who paid over €5,000 per year on private health insurance, spent his final hours of his life on a trolley between a sink and a bin. If his family were not present to demand care for him, it would have been a lot worse. Still furious after 4 years. We're back. We're going to have a look at the issue of accommodation for Ukrainians after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.